The Matalo Method Podcast is a production by Logan Allen and me, Barry Harris. And now, let's start the show.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Manalo Method. Happy holidays. Hope you're having a wonderful start to your Christmas season. I'm Logan Allen, that's my co-host Barry Harris, and as you can see by our outfits, we're dressed up today for a special Christmas episode. Today we are covering the 1990 Barry Manilow album, Because It's Christmas. This was released in September of 1990, recorded in Hollywood and Nashville, and it was released on Arista Records. Now, Barry, we're covering an album here that was close to the time that you were born. Do you have any memories from your childhood of this album?
Yes, this album came out the day after Thanksgiving every single year. And when I, you know, got into playing music and learning how to play the piano, I got the music book out, and that tradition began the day after Thanksgiving. All of the Christmas songs would, you know, come out of the closet, and I would start to play them. And I really, really love this collection. You know, it really, there's so many special memories of the holiday season that are tied with these songs. And for a lot of people out there, this is one of the albums that I think people who are watching and listening to us have had broad exposure to, because there's a lot of these tracks are played constantly during the holiday season on FM radio, and I still hear it to this day. So this was a really amazing album, and I think that in terms of the musicianship and the quality, it's extremely high. Just looking at the discography in general, this is one of my top 10 albums of all time for Manilow. Even if, wow, you take the Christmas out of it, it's a really well put together album.
I absolutely agree. Obviously, we've talked about this. A lot of these albums I did not particularly grow up on, since I was born in the mid-2000s. But something that really introduced me to this album was, if you go back and rewatch our introduction video, I talk about how I've had a resurgence in my love for Barry Manilow in 2021. And a few months after I really started getting back into him, he announced that he was coming to Chicago for 3 dates to do his Very Barry Christmas shows, as you see on Barry's sweater right there, the Barry Christmas shows. He announced 3 of them in Chicago, so we're like, okay, we have to go. So we went, and I had a front row seat to the opening night, and he did a number of songs from this album. He did Jingle Bells. He did the title track. So that was really an awesome introduction to some of these arrangements, was seeing them live unfold on stage right in front of me. So Barry, let's talk about how this album was released.
Yes, so this was released on compact disc, cassette, at vinyl, and this has the distinction of being the very last vinyl release for Barry Manilow for 20 years in North America. So, because it was a real thing, I have a vinyl copy here. This is the Because It's Christmas vinyl copy, a very nice back cover there. And also, there's actually a few more vinyl goodies I have here. So, they released a 45 single of Jingle Bells, that and the Christmas song on the other side. And then I've got something, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but look at this. It's a picture disc.
He's on the disc. Wow.
Yes. It says, Merry Christmas, Love, Barry Manilow.
Wow.
And so you play this at 45 RPM. It has Jingle Bells on one side, and it has Because It's Christmas on the other side. So, like I mentioned, there were vinyl copies and also cassettes. Here is actually a cassette single of Jingle Bells and Because It's Christmas. And here is the actual album on cassette. Now, as for CD, it actually did come out twice. So first off, here is a holiday sampler that has 4 songs, Jingle Bells, Because It's Christmas, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, and Baby, It's Cold Outside. That's a little alternate cover from the photo session. And here's the original compact disc release from 1990. And in the year in the 2000s, they actually remastered and re-released because it's Christmas. And what's notable, what's interesting about this is that this particular version came in a box set with, it's a two-for-one box set with Yanni's Snowfall album. So for
that's a little bizarre.
Yeah, I thought so too. But so I got two albums for the price of one, and I think the Yanni CD actually was pretty nice. I've listened to it one time, and then there was a songbook made from Because It's Christmas, and I have that right here. This unfortunately was the last songbook that they ever made of regular Barry Manilow releases. They did release the Barry Manilow anthology in the year 2000, and they did actually release the greatest songs of the 50s in the songbook piano, vocal, guitar format, but this was the last regular one to be issued. So that was a little bit disappointing, but nevertheless, this songbook is so critical because it helped me to understand all the intricate arrangements and chords that are used on this album. You know, this, in 1990, Barry Manilow was on a real hot streak starting in 1984 with his release of Paradise Cafe. Paradise Cafe really changed the game for him. That's going to be an amazing episode where we dig into that album.
That's going to be a long episode when we dig into that album.
I think you are right, Logan. That's going to be a very long episode. But to summarize Paradise Cafe, it is a suite of songs that are continuous, and they don't stop. When you put the record on side one, it goes all the way to the end without stopping, and then you flip the record over, and it goes again without stopping. That is the same thing that happens here on Because It's Christmas. So this album is, in my mind, an extension of the Paradise Cafe universe. It was, you know, it's put together in the same way. There is a posthumous appearance or two by Johnny Mercer, as there was on the Paradise Cafe album. So, again, if you liked Paradise Cafe, you're really going to love what Madelow did for his holiday collection.
And I think something interesting to bring up is maybe Paradise Cafe was released, and he did that album for himself. He didn't do it to get on the charts or anything. He did that album for himself. Doing this album, this was his first Christmas collection. Maybe the thought process was, I really enjoyed putting jazz elements into my albums. Let's do that again, but put it on a Christmas record so more people can hear it. Because I'm guessing more people, just casual fans, would be like, oh, he put out a Christmas record, let's go buy it. Oh, he put out a jazz record, nah, whatever. That could be maybe a thought process I can see happening is, hey, let's try to make a Christmas album, but let's make it how I want to make it and not just, you know, do Deck the Halls and call it a day, because this is a very intricate album. And speaking of intricate, this is one of the shortest lists of people that we have covered so far on this show. So real quick, I just want to go through these people. There's some interesting names we're going to talk about. The producers of this album were Barry Manilow and Eddie Arkin. I believe this is the first time Eddie Arkin is showing up on our show. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. But
yes, that's the first time he showed up on our program, although Eddie Arkin had been working with Manilow prior to this particular CD. But yes, this is the first time we are talking about Eddie Arkin, who Barry Manilow has described as his musical soulmate. And I think we will dig into why that is as we go through the part and the songs that are on this record. But these great arrangements and great ideas are really instigated by Eddie Arkin. When Eddie Arkin and Barry Manilow put their heads together on an album, I think it's a really winning combination.
So here we go with the band. This is kind of shocking. Manilow himself only did the vocals on this album. He did nothing else. The acoustic piano and the synthesizers were played by a man named Randy Kerber. Eddie Arkin himself played the guitars, and he did the orchestral arrangements. Russ Freeman played the rhythm guitar on track 3, which we're going to really dig into once we get there. That's one of my favorites. And then John Patitucci played the bass. Vinny Colaiuta played the drums. We talked about Vinny Colaiuta on our last episode of Here Comes the Night. Gene Estes played the vibraphone, and Alan Estes played additional percussion. So we have two Estes there, which is very interesting in the percussion section. Jerry Hay did the trumpet solos and the horn arrangements. Exposé did the vocal feature on track number 2, and KT Osland did the vocal duet feature on track number 6. So that is a very short list of people involved with this album, but man, this is such an awesome album. So I think without further ado, we should get into the track list. What do you think,
yes,
Barry? You ready?
Let's go.
All right, here we go. We're starting off with a doozy here. Track 1 is The Christmas Song, written by Mel Torme and Robert Wells. The first thing that jumped out to me of this song is it starts full-on a cappella. Just Manilow singing the first opening lines that everybody knows. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. That's such an awesome way to open not only a Christmas record, but to open your debut Christmas record. Have it be just you singing such a recognizable line and melody around the holidays. And I seriously thought, as I listened to this, the arrangement of this song was so perfect to be the opening statement of Manilow's first Christmas record. What did you think of this arrangement, Barry?
I absolutely love this arrangement. You know, one of my personal memories with this album is that when I started to learn how to play the piano, I would, during the holiday season, go around to wherever, who would be ever willing to have me come and play, and I would actually play songs out of this album, and this was one of the songs that I would so frequently perform. I would recruit some other local singers to sing with me, and we would make it a real special celebration of the season. This arrangement, it really catches people's ear, and I know this because I would use this in my shows, especially with the way it is constructed and ends on a modulation that changes the key of the chorus and raises it by a half step. And it really has an interesting harmonic structure that was injected into this song to make it more interesting, to make it more lively. And so what's really cool about this arrangement is that it shows every side of Manilow, from the arrangement to his vocals. This was a great start to the record. It's very inviting. You know, obviously, looking at the lyrics, it's a Christmas wish for everybody in the listening audience. So it's a real positive and happy note to start out the record on.
Absolutely. And of course, we move into one of the most upbeat songs on the record right after this. And I thought it was interesting, right at the end of the Christmas song, we get a little tease of Jingle Bells in the piano part, and then it leads into track 2. If we can move on here, track 2, Jingle Bells, written by James Pierpont, with Exposé featured on the background vocals. Now, let me tell you, I saw this live at the very, very Christmas show in 2021, as I was talking about. It caught me so off guard how intricate the background vocal parts were, because for the past however many years, it's always been Manilow and then his backup vocalists, Kai Brackett, Muffy Hendrix, and Melanie Taylor. How locked in the four of them were on this vocal arrangement was mind-blowing. Just to see that done live, I can imagine the time that had to be worked on in rehearsals. It was so intricate. Barry, what do you think of the vocals on this one?
I love the vocal arrangement on this. And the first time I ever heard it live was not with the current crew. I actually, believe it or not, I actually saw Barry Manilow sing this song with Lady Flash. And that was in the year 2000. Manilow did a special reunion tour for the holiday season, and he got Deborah Byrd, Reparata, and Monica Page to come back, and part of the show, they did a lot of the old songs like Riders to the Stars and Let Me Go and highlights for the VSM, the Jump Shout Boogie Medley. It was just like you were listening to the live album, and then they transitioned into the holiday songs from Because It's Christmas, and I remember that being performed, and Jingle Bells is actually a perennial classic on the radio. I guarantee you, during this holiday season, if you turn on any FM station that's on a holiday format, I think you probably will take you about 60 to 120 minutes until you hear it in the rotation, because this song is so heavily featured. But one of the things that's actually remarkable about this song, Logan, is that it's one of the first times on a Manilow record so far that Manilow has been completely faithful to the original version, because he is invoking the Bing Crosby and Andrews Sisters version. He has mentioned many times in concert that he had a love for the Andrews Sisters and their music, and so naturally he would be inclined to want to cover this. But what I think the best part of all with this particular version is that he's taking something that existed back in the 1940s that was an exceptional record at that time, and he updated it and he re-records it, and therefore, because we're here in 1990, the sonic quality has greatly advanced, and so now he allows listeners in today's generation to hear this arrangement and appreciate for what it is, because it's a really brilliant arrangement. And I think I must admit, when you're listening to a scratchy record from the 1940s, it limits the perspective a little bit for the listeners, especially since we're so used to hearing everything in digital quality. So this is an opportunity where Manilow has brought a relic from the past into the present, and it sounds so fresh and exciting, and I love this arrangement. It's, you know, I have to say, I think this is my favorite version of Jingle Bells of all time, Barry Manilow and the Bing Crosby version.
I would probably have to agree with you on that. I love the part towards the end where the tempo kind of stutters, even though nothing really changes, where it goes, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way, where it has that little stop right there. That caught me so off guard the first time I heard it, and now I can't get enough of it. Every time the song comes on, I'm always looking forward to that moment. So now, let's dive in here to the first original track on this record. There's an orchestral interlude of Silent Night that leads into track number 3, I Guess There Ain't No Santa Claus. This was written by Barry Manilow, Eddie Arkin, and as you mentioned before, the late Johnny Mercer. This is the first original Christmas track on the record. First original Christmas track if you listen to the Christmas albums in order. It's very bluesy. It's very dark sounding. One of the songs that came to mind for me was kind of Brooklyn Blues, but Christmas. That was the first vibe that I had. What would you compare this song to, Barry, in the rest of the Manilow discography?
Well, I think it going back to the Paradise Cafe universe, I think this comes right out of that. And in fact, actually, I opened the songbook to just read out of here what's in this. Listen to these chords that are used. D minor 11, G 13, A 7, flat 13, B minor 7, flat 5, E 7, sharp 5, sharp 9. These are as far out as you could possibly get when it comes to chord progressions. And I love that this is used to such great effect, but most importantly, it's supporting a great lyric. Like, did you catch that lyric? Like the clock on the shelf, I hold hands with myself.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And of course, it leave it to the late Johnny Mercer to come on board this album and have some. Again, as you said, this is the first original idea that we're hearing so far on this album. It's incredibly memorable, and I love it presented. As I said, it's in a nice jazzy arrangement, and I think that Manilow was relishing the opportunity on this holiday collection to lean very far into it, because it was incredibly appropriate for this song, and it works. This is a song that I can relate to and enjoy, and I do play this on the piano a lot.
You know, this song could fit so easily into a live setting, I feel. Mm. This could serve as one of those songs where, like, the energy was just all the way up here and we have to bring it down a bit. I know when in his Christmas shows, he does all the pop hits still, Weekend in New England, Even Now, all that stuff. But this song could fit so well into a Christmas show. I wonder if he ever tried it once and then decided, maybe not. That would be interesting to know. So, without further ado, I think we're going to just keep trucking along here. This probably is going to be the shortest episode of our show up to this point. Now, keeping with the theme of every track connecting, we have another little orchestral interlude of the first Noel leading into When the Meadow Was Blooming. This is another Barry Manilow and Johnny Mercer track. I have to say, I knew this was a Johnny Mercer lyric. My first thought when I heard this song was, man, this kind of sounds like When October Goes. from the Paradise Cafe record, which is famously the first Johnny Mercer lyric that Barry Manilow ever put music to. So it makes me wonder, were they started around the same time? What do you think, Barry?
So one thing we know for sure, so we probably have to tell the story on this program because I don't think we've previously talked about the envelope that Manilow received.
Yes.
So one day, out of the blue, Manilow got a call from his record company. His record company told him, Arista Records, that we have an envelope. It was sent to us by the widow of Johnny Mercer, Ginger Mercer. And these are lyrics that nobody has ever put music to, and she's asking if you would like to put music to them. So he, of course, as soon as he got that original envelope, he pulled out a song, and he claims that the very first song he pulled out was When October Goes. So he had a very cosmic connection to that song, and in fact, he loved it so much, he was currently on the Your Lookin' Hot Tonight tour in 1983, and he loved the song so much that he put it into his show. He had his musical director, Victor Vanacore, do an arrangement of it, do a string arrangement of it to accompany him, and he put it into the shows, and When October Goes became the centerpiece of his Paradise Cafe record that he released in 1984. So these lyrics are similar because they both take place in autumn, and there is a chance, we don't know the exact sequence of how quickly he worked on the songs in that envelope, how quickly he pushed through them. We know that there's at least 10 or 11 because Nancy Wilson, who actually just about a year after this, because its Christmas album was released, Barry Manilow produced an album for Nancy Wilson and included all of the songs that he wrote music to, but with Johnny Mercer's lyrics. And When the Meadow Was Blooming was actually one of the songs that Nancy Wilson covered on her record. Again, so how far, at what sequence were the songs written? I would guess and imagine that maybe he went on a spree and just started writing up a storm. But we don't know exactly when this song was made. But perhaps I could take one clue. If I go into the music book itself, I can look up right here, and we can see that it was copyrighted in 1986. So there's our clue. It definitely existed by 1986. So that means he did quickly jump into it and set the lyrics to music. And so I would say, if I were to take a guess, I would say When October Goes and When the Meadow Was Blooming was probably written around the same time.
Yes, one of my conspiracies has somebody to agree with it. This is fantastic. All right, let's move on here. This next track here is probably one of the most popular original Manilow Christmas songs. This is the title track, Because It's Christmas for All the Children. We're led into this track with an excerpt from Handel's Messiah leading into this title track. This is a staple of the Very Berry Christmas shows. This is always towards the end. It has been towards the end of all of the Christmas shows ever since this album was released. The best way I can describe this song is this song is if Let Freedom Ring was a Christmas song.
Oh, that's an interesting analogy. I agree.
It's it where it kind of starts just very, very, very calm, just him and the piano singing, and it builds 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 with a modulation, and it's, you know, it's got a choir sound. And that was my overall take of hearing this multiple times over the course of preparing for this, was if Let Freedom Ring was a Christmas song, it would be this. What are your thoughts on this track, Barry?
Well, obviously it's Bruce Sussman and Jack Feldman who wrote the lyrics for Because It's Christmas. They also did the same for Let Freedom Ring, so I don't think that's any accident that they both of those songs have this grand scale where it starts very simple with just piano and voice, and builds and builds and adds a choir and other accompaniment with a very big ending. Interestingly, we were talking about how this album is really tied to the Paradise Cafe universe, but this particular song breaks that paradigm because it actually goes back to the original Barry Manilow paradigm, where it has a big key change, it has a big last note, it has a big repeat and fade with the melody played on an instrument. And in fact, in this time, 1990, this is the most that he had leaned into that Manilowism in a while. I think in the last couple of records, he tried to step away from that typical pattern, but in this song, because it's Christmas, he definitely leans into it conscientiously. But there's two very special memories that are associated with this really incredible song. So the first is from my own parents, my mom and my dad. Now, they were married by this point. They actually got to go to Caesar's Palace in Atlantic City, where Barry Manilow was taping an episode of the Sally Jesse Raphael Show. And it was to promote the Copacabana musical that was going to be playing at Caesar's Palace as a show. But at the very end, he went and performed Because It's Christmas on the show. It was one of the very first times that he publicly performed the song, and my parents were there to see it. So that's one cool memory associated with this song. And here's another amazing memory. When I used to live in Los Angeles, one time, Barry Manilow played a televised concert that was broadcast on local television. I believe this channel was KMBC for Los Angeles, and it was a fundraiser for local charities. And they had a few other guests on the program, and the anchors of the program talked to the audience and asked and appealed for donations. And this took place at LA Live, the very big complex that includes the Staples Center, now known as the Crypto.com Arena. It used to be the Staples Center, but it was very close to the Staples Center. I went down there, and I got to watch everything, and not just the whole thing. I actually got to see the sound check and see what that process was like. But I didn't tell you the best part of this all. My buddy Nolan, who is my musical director in my band, he was in the choir for Because It's Christmas, and also a few other friends of mine were also in the choir. I've never had an experience where I'm watching Barry Manilow perform and I'm having like at least a couple people waving to me from the stage who know me, and they see me sitting there and watching the show. That was an incredible experience. So every time we get to the ending and the choir comes in, I close my eyes and I think back to LA Live, where I see Nolan and a lot of my friends on the stage with Manilow. That's a very special memory.
I cannot even imagine. That would be so, so crazy. So that's side one. That is side one of the album, which is interesting that he harkened back to the original Manilowisms to finish side one of the record. And we'll talk about that a little bit more when we get to the end of side two. So, starting out the second side is track six, a duet with KT Osland on Baby It's Cold Outside, written by Frank Lesser. This is a Christmas classic. The thing about this version of the song is the biggest thing they achieved with it is the feeling of we were sitting in the living room of some house with them listening to Barry and KT Osland have this conversation. Now, obviously, if you have Manilow TV, which is the subscription service, you watch Manilow concerts every month. It's $10 a month. You should definitely do it. When he would do this live, he would do it as a duet with Deborah Byrd. Now, Barry, talk about this very interesting duet.
Yes, this is done in such a great way, and I think you described it very well, Logan. It feels very intimate. You feel like you're in the room with them by the fireplace having this conversation. And the way it's done so sweetly and so gently. And I know it was really appreciated by Manilow enough because it was included on the complete collection and then some box sets. So that tells me that this was something he was particularly proud of. I love the way this song is. I like the way it unfolds. The dialogue that they have is just, it's just, it's very cute, you know, and I love it. It's just so, like I said, it's very sweet. And another side note about K.T. Osland, she ended up becoming a good friend to Manilow. I know this because when he was promoting his box set, he actually gave an interview and he cited her as a good friend of his who had been helping to urge him to go to Nashville and record an album, because she was a Nashville artist and she was raving to him about how great the Nashville scene was. And in fact, Manilow, at the time he was promoting the box set in 1992, said that's something he wanted to do. He wanted to go down to Nashville to record a record. And if, for those of you who have been listening to us, you know that this did happen in 1996. He went down to Nashville and recorded the Summer of 78. But the last thing I'll say about K.T. Osland, she is an incredible artist. For anybody out there who does not know her music, I would say go look up the song, go to YouTube and look up K.T. Osland 80s Ladies and watch the music video. It's really moving in a way that you're not going to expect. Her artistry was incredible. I ended up really digging what the kind of music that she made and really appreciating it. Unfortunately, she did pass away a few years ago, but I hope that other people go back and try to listen to her music because it's really amazing. And so I'm glad she got a chance to be a part of this Manilow record, and I think she was the perfect duet partner for him here.
I totally agree with you. Let's keep her moving here. Let's try to keep this under super long. We have track 7 here, a Christmas classic, White Christmas, written by Irving Berlin. He does this in his Christmas shows, but the arrangement on this record is not the arrangement he does in his shows. This is a very stripped down version, very jazzy version of the song, at least on this particular record. And it's kind of used, I would say, more as a transition track, more of a palate cleanser, I guess, even though it's still complicated. It's more of a palate cleanser from the K.T. Osland duet into the big song that's coming next. So Barry, just give me a quick comment on this and we'll keep this moving.
Yes, so with this particular performance, yes, it's a very stripped down version. It's like you said, I think it's a more of a transition than an actual performance of the song. And this song was the very first of all the Christmas songs to be reprised on future Christmas albums that we will obviously cover in future episodes. And it was blended with Happy Holidays on the Gift of Love album. So it's great guitar playing by Eddie Arkin on this one, who played all the great guitar tracks in addition to producing. So I like this really beautiful and simple version of White Christmas.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Here we go. We got track 8 coming up right here. An interlude with all sorts of different voices doing Carol of the Bells, leading into an original Manilow track, The Bells of Christmas, written by Barry Manilow and Adrian Anderson. This is another jazzy original, leading off the side 1 cuts, I Guess There Ain't No Santa Claus When the Meadow Was Blooming. This is another jazzy original. And you know, we've talked about this and you brought it up earlier, but I want to say this now because I actually wrote it down here. This album is almost like a Christmas-themed Paradise Cafe. I wrote those exact words after listening to this song. Barry, what's so special about this track to you?
Well, the orchestration is really beautiful. I love that. You know, you did hear the orchestrations on the instrumental tunes, but you know, up until now on this record, you did not hear any of the, like, the string orchestra accompany any of the pop songs that were written. And so this is actually the first time you hear the orchestra accompanying one of the original pop tunes. And I really, really love this song. It's a great lyric by Adrian Anderson that kind of makes you feel a little bit wistful and nostalgic. And whenever I think of the beauty of this album, I think this track, I think, encompasses that beauty, especially when you take the orchestrations. And also you've got a great trumpet solo by Jerry Hay with a mute on the trumpet. And I just thought this was, again, another great example of him leading into his jazz sensibilities, but also staying true to who he is as an artist and some of the pop sensibilities that we love from him. And so he puts all of that on this particular track.
And speaking of interesting things put on specific tracks, let's get into track 9 here. This is an intro of Joy to the World, and then after, an a cappella version of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. This is very interesting. When I first listened to this album in full, I was not expecting an a cappella track. I will say that right up front. And the melody changes and the harmony changes are so interesting. I'm not even going to attempt to try to dissect what's going on. I'd probably just have to look at your songbook. There are so many interesting things happening in the movement of all the different voices. Talk about this one for a second, Barry.
Well, we are track 9 into the album, and we've been given a completely different palette in terms of what to listen to. We're now hearing an a cappella track. I believe this is the first time in the Manilow discography that we have a performance that is completely a cappella. And what I love about this is the way it sounds when Manilow multi-tracks his own voice onto a track. And that's something he's always been doing ever since his first album. He had the song Cloudburst where he recorded all of the background parts. So this is doing that again, except again, no instrumentation. I love the way he chose this particular song and made it a really hopeful and happy song. I know that Manilow has talked about his love of Judy Garland, and this was a song that was associated with Judy Garland, but her version was a whole lot more mournful, if I might say, because this
depressing.
Because this was during the Second World War, and this was sung thinking about people who either weren't going to be home for Christmas or people that were never going to be coming home for Christmas. I don't think Manilow is singing that in this particular version. This is a lot brighter and happier than the Judy Garland version. And by the way, the Judy Garland version is incredible. As well as, I believe, Frank Sinatra, I think he did record this. But this been, like a lot of these songs, they've been recorded by everybody. But I know that a lot of the artists that have influenced Barry Manilow have recorded a lot of these songs that he's doing on this album. So I think he came up with a really fresh way to present it in a way that his other heroes had not already presented it. So I think this was a master stroke of genius to pull off this arrangement and record all the voices. This is a highlight for me.
You mentioned that this is the first time in his discography from the first album to this point where we have a fully a cappella track. Off the top of my head, I can't think of another one that follows this. Can you?
There is one more, and that is on his third Christmas album. He does do that.
Interesting. Okay, well, that shows you that I'm not a huge Christmas music fan, but anyway, we're going to get into that at some point in the rest of this series that we're doing. Thank you guys so much for sticking with us. This is definitely our shortest episode so far. Here we are, track 10, the final track of side 2, the final track of the Because It's Christmas album. We have an interlude of We Wish You a Merry Christmas, leading into the Barry Manilow and Marty Panzer written classic, It's Just Another New Year's Eve. You hardcore fanalos from the 70s will probably remember that when the live album was released, you know, the one where he's like standing like this on the cover, this song was included on that, and that was the first time that this song was ever put out into the world in any sort of form. But here on this album, we get an official studio version, and I loved the sort of minimalist approach to this track. I noticed that at 2 minutes 52 seconds in and 4 minutes and 20 seconds in, he kind of teases Auld Lang Syne with the piano arrangement, and I just love the way that this isn't a super blown up version of an original Manilow song from the 70s. This is truly just a way of having a nice pretty song and then the album is done. Barry, I know we're going to talk about It's Just Another New Year's Eve once we do the live album as an episode, so we aren't going to actually dig into the song. Just talk about this version and what you like about it.
Yeah, like you said, Logan, it's very minimalist And frankly, it's breathtaking. It's, you know, you thought you had an amazing experience listening to these first 9 tracks. And for this grand finale, it's not done at a big scale. It's done very quietly and very gently with a little light string accompaniment and piano. And this, I mean, how do you top the live version that was on the live album? Because that was such a special moment in the show at a highlight from that record. And he decided to do a complete 180. And that's what I find so refreshing about Manilow's approach. He knows how to take things that we all love and find new and exciting ways to deliver them to us. So this particular studio version of It's Just Another New Year's Eve that had to wait more than a decade to happen, it was worth the wait because, and like I said, this is breathtaking and this will knock you out if you've never heard this before, especially if you're familiar with the live album and you've never listened to this Christmas record. You are going to absolutely love this version of this amazing classic song.
So there it is. There's the full track list. We have one more song to talk about on this episode, though. Barry, what is this one more song?
Yes. So on the complete collection and then some box set that was released in 1992, there is a track included called Ave Maria. Barry Manilow performs Ave Maria in a very beautiful arrangement with a guitar and what appears to be synthesized strings, very, very intimate, and it was for a charity compilation. And we don't know if this was recorded during the time of Because It's Christmas, but I'm going to make an assumption that this song originates from the session. Yes, tinfoil hat. As we like to do in this program, we like to put on our tinfoil hat, our conspiracy theory hats, and prognosticate and guess what we think has been going on. And I think this was potentially recorded. There is a chance that this was maybe recorded with the intention of maybe including it, or it could have simply been a one-off that was intended for that particular release and was never intended. But I've never heard any suggestion either way that this was a song considered for Because It's Christmas, but I'm generally assuming it came from the same time frame and also appropriate to loop into our discussion here. And I'll say it's interesting to hear Barry Manilow sing in another language. He's singing in Italian. Yes. And has a really amazing final note. So if any of you have not heard his version of Ave Maria, I would recommend that you go find the complete collection and then some. I believe it's on the third disc, I think, off the top of my head.
That sounds about right.
So if you find it and you listen to it, it's really beautiful. When I got into burning CDRs for my car, I would actually append Ave Maria on as the 11th track, so that way I would get a little bit more of a holiday experience when I was listening to the CD in the car. But it fits very well, and it doesn't feel out of place when I did that. So Ave Maria, it's just another beautiful vocal performance. And that's the thing, last thing I'll say, it's a great vocal performance. I mean, Barry Manilow has an amazing vocal prowess that I think is highly underrated. He, as a vocalist, has gotten stronger and stronger. And here in 1990, he really hasn't peaked yet as a vocalist. And he continues to get stronger and have more emotion, more feeling in his voice. You know, I don't know if this is a record he could have made in 1975. This was something that the 1990 version of Barry Manilow could do. So that's what I love about the discography, is that I feel like he's been doing nothing since 1975 but ramp up and increase the quality and increase the capacity of what he can do. So Ave Maria, I think, is a great example of just how much he's grown as an artist over the years, and we got to see the growth for ourselves by listening to his discography.
I would say the one thing about Ave Maria is, we're thinking maybe this came out around the same time, talking about the sessions it may have come out of. I tried to think. I really can't think of any of the songs on the 10-song track list where this would have fit in its place. I couldn't really think of a song where, oh yeah, he probably just would have not done that one and put this one on it. So that's just something interesting to think about. And I did just look while you were talking. Ave Maria is on disc 3 of the Botched set. So now let's keep this moving here. Let's talk about some of our favorite tracks. Barry, what are 3 of your favorite tracks from this album?
Well, because it's Christmas, because it's one of the most... It is a perennial classic in the show, like Logan, like you mentioned, but it really has a touching message to it, and I feel greatly moved every time I listen to it or I see him perform it in concert. When the Meadow Was Blooming, that's a knockout of a song. And I've referred on this program before about the time when they used to have a piano in public at the Westgate Hotel, a casino where Barry Manilow has his residency, and I would, you know, after concerts, I'd run over there and start a show, and when, you know, the crowds thinned out and the Manilow fans were the ones who were left, they'd ask for songs. When the Meadow Was Blooming was actually another top song that people asked for, and luckily I was ready for it because I love it too. And then my third favorite is Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. I, like I said, it's an innovative arrangement, and I absolutely love it. We've had an explosion of a cappella music becoming popular within the last 10 years, but at that time, I don't think that was a genre that many people were spending time in. And so I like the fact that deep into the album, he gave us a completely different color that we had not heard yet on the record. And it's a personal favorite of mine.
So I would say, because it's Christmas, is probably my favorite from the record too. Any time around Christmas time, I consider Christmas time November and December. If I do any shows from November, from the beginning of November to the end of December, I typically try to include 2 or 3 Christmas songs in every show. In any show that I do, that is, I have to heavily focus on Christmas material because it's Christmas is always the song that I close with. Hmm. I try to pick and choose songs from the different Manilow Christmas albums. That is the one I always close with. It's always been my favorite from this album. I also love Jingle Bells just based on, you had Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas for all the vocal layers. I have Jingle Bells as a favorite for all of the different vocal layers. It's one of my favorite arrangements on the record. And I also love I Guess There Ain't No Santa Claus. I love that bluesy, dark, jazzy feeling. And it's a vibe that it's kind of on its own on this record, honestly. That specific vibe and message of the song really stood out to me amidst all the other Christmas classics. Barry, tell everybody what's happening now.
Okay, so now Logan and I are going to choose an MVP of the album. So if you've seen us before, you know the rules that Manilow himself cannot be the MVP because he's always the MVP of the album.
Absolutely.
But it could be anybody. It could be anybody who worked on the record. And in this case, we've bent the rules in the last couple episodes, and sometimes we award the MVP to a group of people who worked together. So sometimes groups of people, teams of people can be given an MVP honor altogether. But Logan and I have not talked about this in advance of taping this episode. So what we are going to do, we wrote down on a piece of paper our MVP. And so we're going to reveal it to each other for the first time while we are on this program. This is where you might see a Siskel and Ebert-like argument. We haven't had one so far, but, and I should also mention before we reveal, only so far in this episode run of episodes, we've only had one time where we perfectly matched. That was on our very first episode, but every time subsequently, Logan and I have come up with different points of view. So, Logan, are you ready to share your MVP?
I am so ready. Let's
do this. Okay, we're going to show this to the camera on the count of 3. On 3, we'll show it. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Randy Kerber. Okay, we're close. I said the band, which includes Randy Kerber. So, Logan, tell us about your MVP.
So, you mentioned on a previous episode, the MVP is someone that this album could not have happened without. It could have happened, but this specific sound and the specific album could not have happened without this person. And the more I listened, the more I found myself saying, man, if Randy Kerber wasn't playing the acoustic piano parts, this album would have been totally different. So that is why I chose him. You say the band. Dig yourself out of this hole, Barry.
I know, I have to. So, I actually, so funny enough, Randy Kerber was who I was initially leaning towards, but as I kept listening to the record, I kept thinking, well, Vinny Cayuta, it is drum playing, especially like on Jingle Bells, for example, how can you not say that's not worthy of the honor? But also John Patitucci, Jerry Hay, Alan Estes, and all the other instrumentalists you mentioned. I think that's what makes this record is the playing. And Eddie Arkin, I mentioned, played the acoustic guitar. That's absolutely amazing, his acoustic guitar playing. In fact, you hear Eddie Arkin accompany Barry Manilow on a lot of key songs on his discography, on the records that Eddie Arkin produced. Actually, Eddie Arkin used to be a professor at USC, and he taught guitar. And I have some amazing stories that I've heard about him that I will tell on a future episode of this program when we talk about Eddie Arkin's involvement. But yeah, I don't think it would have been the same without this particular ensemble. If it was anybody different, I don't know if this record would have had the charm and the beauty that it has. So this, my MVP is the band.
I absolutely love it. All right, well, we're going to try to cap this at under an hour for the first time ever. Who knows, maybe this one will air as a one-parter. We'll see. You can find us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, etc., at The Manilow Method. I'm Logan Allen. That is my co-host, Barry Harris. We also have an email address, themanilowmethod@gmail.com. You can reach out to us with your stories, your ideas. Did we get something right? Did we get something wrong? Did I pronounce a name incorrectly like I seem to do at least once every single episode? Please reach out and let us know, and I will apologize. So thank you so much for tuning into this. Barry, tell everybody how this is working. We're starting to wind down this first season. Tell everybody what's going on.
Yes, so we're in season now, and when we are in season, you can expect new content from us every Monday and Friday. And for the months when we are in season, on the first and third Mondays of the month, they will be Manilow Mondays, and we will drop a brand new album discussion episode. And then on the Friday coming up on this week, Logan is going to be releasing a cover of a song from Because It's Christmas. Then Monday of next week, I will be releasing a cover of a song from Because It's Christmas. And then next Friday, Logan and I will be releasing a cover of a song from Because It's Christmas. So be sure to subscribe and tap that notifications bell so we let you know every time we have new content so you don't miss it.
So thank you so much for tuning into this. We hope you enjoyed our album discussion on the Because It's Christmas album from 1990. We hope you guys have a very happy holiday season, and we hope you join us on our next album discussion where we take our mouths on a holiday. We'll see you next time on The Manilow Method.